This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die. Hello. Oh, look at me. I'm only small. Let me pop me Viagra again. There we go. How the devil are we? Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello. Apologies for this slightly delayed start. I would normally, of course, blame my co-host, but tonight it was actually me. I wasn't quite well. I was sat watching YouTube videos about Leicester and what was going on. And I didn't realise the time. And then I heard Clive Craig, who it's going to be a long night tonight. I feel it's going to be a long night. But this is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thanks for joining us, whether you are watching on YouTube or listening via your favourite podcast player. We thank you for joining us. And Connor is in already. Hi, Connor. He's got an early score prediction, but we'll come on to those obviously later. He's got us to beat Hull 2-1. And John is in as well. Good evening, John. How are you? Now, earlier in the week, I turned my phone on and panicked a little bit because there was breaking news via The Sun and Leicestershire Live that Leicester City could be deducted points. And I did a show which has got, I think, almost 4,000 views now, which for a non-watch along is quite amazing. And thank you for that. But I had Dave on, and I had, because I did enjoy the day, so a lot of people were working, but I had Dave on and Brad on, and they were kind of, and I understand it, quite dismissive, that, well, it's only in The Sun, and you can't believe The Sun, and all this, that, and the other, and Leicestershire Live, that's just copy and paste. But it's kind of, it's got wheels a little bit now, this story, because it's all, it's all that way. Well, certainly it's on Sky. So we will see what my co-host thinks about it. Craig, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, everyone.
You're basically, I want to get this out of the way because I think it's grown since I last did talked about it. It's been on Sky today with Rob Doughty. I was trying to get contact Sky earlier to see if I could be allowed to play the video, but I couldn't get the right department. Thoughts on what's going on at the moment?
Well, as you know, as we're doing this, and Rob Dorsett just tweeted again with the exclusive, as always.
Yeah.
LCFC facing charge for allegedly breaching Premier League PSR rules in final season before relegation. Charge could come as early as next week. Leicester won't face a points deduction this season, but could start next season, whichever division they are in, on minus points.
Basically, so, that's what he was saying on his video, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, it's a really difficult one, isn't it? And it takes me back to stuff we were talking about probably three seasons ago, where it's like the club got bigger than it actually was, or had pretensions to be bigger and wanted to be bigger, and kind of got a little bit of an Icarus complex and flew a little too close to the sun, and now the wings are burning and we're falling. But the problem is, and this is why I find social media so annoying, that everybody and his dog seems to know how to run a football club. And I know people will be able to say, well, it looks like those in charge don't know how to run a football club. And that may well be true. But none of us know the difficulties of managing expectations, not only of a supporter base who have seen you win the league, go into the Champions League, finish in the top six on consecutive seasons, win an FA Cup, try and build the club, but without spending big money and big wages to do it. You know, it's like almost like an impossible conundrum, but that's what the people behind the club have tried to do. And when you've got a manager in place like Brendan at the time, who was probably pushing for bigger signings and pushing to get these, you know, if you can't, the only way that in some ways it's like, you know, Newcastle have found it difficult spending their money, but not only spending the money, getting players to go to Newcastle, you know. Top players want to go to bigger clubs, or they want to go to London or Manchester or whatever. Getting players to come to Leicester, you've got to pay bigger wages, you know, than you would normally have to be honest, to get these players in. So if you look at the quality of players we've had some fantastic players. Now we're paying the price for trying to push on too quickly, I think, and we've never really recovered. We've been in this kind of financial mess for a few seasons now, you know, going back to Brendan when he said he was promised money and that never materialized. So I think now all these things are coming home to roost. What I would say is, if this is the case, I would rather us start a season with a points deduction than get anything now. And if you start a points deduction, whether you're in the Premier League, whether you're in the Championship, you know what you need to do. So for me, you know, you take it, you get it out of the way, and you kick on and you start a new season afresh. But I think this is a culmination of a club that tried to grow too quickly and not organically. And you can't really blame them, because everybody got excited for how we were doing at the time. And I think that's what's happened, to be honest.
Annoys me, and obviously I've had a lot of comments off different groups of fans on the YouTube videos. As somebody said, it was quite rightly, you know, a couple of laughing emojis, and then you were going to sue Everton. I mean, that does make the club look pretty stupid.
Well, it does if they knew that they were going to get it. But I mean, just because you're going to get a points deduction doesn't mean that you wouldn't fight it, you know. You know, if you're burgling someone's house and you get burgled, it doesn't mean yourself. Fair enough. You know, it's a difficult, as I say, and this is the problem with, you know, on social media, we've got so many experts. I put on Facebook the other week that, you know, if Maresca decided to walk away, we shouldn't worry because we've got so many people who know how to run a football team just waiting on social media. So that's great news. We can look forward to that. But, you know, you can never keep fans happy because fans want you to be pushing for bigger signings all the time. Yes. Without any of the thought, I don't remember anybody at the time when we were pushing for top four and top five, you know, and we were throwing it away saying, right, we need to buy this player, we need to buy that player, we need to buy bigger signings. Oh, but don't forget about financial fair play and don't pay them too much and don't give them a long contract and X, Y, and Z. You know, they don't come into the thought process. You know, all we want is bigger signings, better signings, and the club to continue to build. And we've, as I say, I think we're all, and I think this is the phrase I used, it's probably about 3 years ago now, everybody got excited and the club got excited and the club started running away with the idea of where we could be. And it's difficult to manage expectations of the players, of the players you're trying to attract, on what the club is going to do. And the managers in place and the fans and everybody, it's sad. It's sad that it's come to this because we were a team, we were a club that knew our place and we worked within it and we had success within it on our limited scale. And then all of a sudden we think we can start playing with the big boys. And this is what happens when you start trying to play with the big boys.
It's very difficult to match the ambition that I think we then had as a club after winning the Premier League and, you know, finishing fifth twice to, yeah, we do start to think then that, oh, you know, we can compete here. And of course, you know, financially we can't, you know, we're a lot smaller club. You know, I know we've won things more recently than Tottenham, but Tottenham as a club, as a fan base, they've got, you know, more money to spend without breaking FFP than we do. And when you look at what Leeds did, and I mean, they suffered a lot more than us because they went for the dream and, you know, they really got burned. We probably only just got a little bit scorched, but they got burned there, you know. And I just, what annoys me, I think, is that last season, the reason, as I see it, well, one of the reasons that we got relegated was we couldn't strengthen the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we'd got a set of players, and we'll use Daniel Amati as the example, that's probably been paid a lot of money, and he's not really, he's probably bottom half Premier League, just about, but he's not going to be, he wasn't a top half Premier League player. Right. But like you said, we had to pay him the money to get him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, once you've got him in, you don't necessarily want to let him go. You know, because he was okay when he, you know, occasionally came on. He dug us out a hole a few times. But we didn't buy anybody. Not this summer just gone, the one before, at the start of our last Premier League season. Because we'd been warned, as far as I understand it, by UEFA, that if we got into Europe again, the chances are we'd be chucked straight out because of FFP. You know, we'd been given a little bit of allowance because of COVID, as a few clubs had. But that's why there was no money to spend until we sold Fofana. And, you know, because we couldn't buy anybody, I think that's one of the reasons why we went down. I just can't reconcile that in my head, that when we've done that to try and stay within the boundaries, that we still somehow managed to break them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, though, they probably thought they'd got more money coming in. I don't think they were budgeting, thinking they were going to get relegated, and the financial losses that come with that. So I would have thought that's come into the thinking. But you're seeing it now with the likes of. It'd be interesting to see what the likes of Brighton do. You know, for instance, I'll use them as a club similar to us. You know, probably not as big as Leicester. I haven't won the league, obviously. But their model is very similar to ours, or what ours was. Find some gems, sell them. You know, find another gem, sell them. they're now going through a bit of a tricky time. The results are going bad. I just saw tonight they're getting tonked 4-0 in Europe. So are they going to stick with it and say, right, we know what we are. We're a bottom half of the Premier League team. You know, or are they going to say, right, well, we started knocking on the door. We're going to start buying some bigger players. Or are they going to stick with their model? We stopped sticking with the model and started buying players.
Gamble, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's a reality check for everybody involved that the actual size of this club, until we get a bigger stadium, more revenue stream coming in, we can't go trying to gamble and spend in the hope that you get a top six finish and some European football. Mm-hmm. We've got to sit back and say, if we get promoted again, we are a bottom half of the Premier League football club.
Yes.
And we should cut our cloth accordingly. And if we have to go down now and again, sadly, that is the reality of it. Because what you can't do is try and spend your way out of trouble and put the whole football club at risk.
I've said exactly the same. I said, if we do go up, and my worry is that if we do go up, we'll do a Burnley. Because, you know, you've got there a manager that came in, completely revitalised the club, new style of play compared to Sean Dyche, etc., etc. We were almost like carbon copying Burnley from last season. I'm hoping we don't carbon copy them when we go up. And they did spend money, and you can't say that they didn't buy players. So I don't think we will. I'm hoping we don't. But we're not going to go up next season and be challenging for Europe again.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think the sooner people realise that there are elite clubs in the Premier League, and if you can punch them on the nose for a couple of seasons, that's great. But you're not going to compete with them on a like-for-like basis, season in, season out, until you have a 60,000-seater stadium that you're selling out all the time in regular football. And you can only do that gradually.
Yeah.
You know, you can't buy your first house and then sell it and expect to buy a multi-million mansion next time. It's gradual increments to get where you want to be.
Totally,
And we got excited and carried away. This is just my view of what I see from an outsider and going to the games. And as I say, this isn't something new that I've been saying. It's trying to keep those feet on the ground. And as I say, I think the club, the supporters, everybody got excited by what we could achieve. And it's just not financially stable. And we're finding out now.
It's the dreams of a football fan, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and when you get that, when you get that little bit, you know, of a taste of it, if you like. Mm. I mean, you know, so when we won the Premier League, and I'm not saying every fan, but the majority of fans were like, well, we should be here every season now. And, you know, as much as we won it, and deservedly so, because it's, you know, we won the most games, we're also pretty lucky in other teams cocking it up and sacking managers and letting managers go, etc. And, of course, imploding if you're Tottenham Hotspur. And if, like, well, apparently, yeah, like they said, they're not going to deduct points this season, which, let's be honest with you, is good because, you know, it's been a long time since three clubs have all been on plus 70. So that would immediately stick us into the playoff. Not out of the playoff, but it would put us into the playoffs. And whether we could then make that up or not, I'm not sure now, but we'll talk mostly about that later. Rob Dorsett was saying on the video earlier that the Premier League, because, I mean, the EFL, silly as it is, the EFL said, right, we're going to investigate you. And Leicester City said, well, you can't. And, you know, the board went, yeah, no, Leicester, right, you can't. But apparently the Premier League can, or I don't know if they've done it before, talk with the EFL, but there's just not enough time left this season.
Yeah.
You know, because whatever they do, we will object to. And then it will just drag out and drag out. So if we go up, we're going to start next season on minus six. And let's be honest, like I say, I'm looking at finishing 16th, 17th next season. I know. And I'll be happy with that. It's almost like a reset, isn't it? Like we're going to start again, like under Martin O'Neill. And I just hope, fans don't get carried away with what we're doing this season. And I think at the most it's going to be 6 points. It can't be any more. And I think, in fair play to Everton, 10 points. When you think, if we go bust, we've deducted 10 points.
Yeah.
They're spending too much money, 20 million, which is half of, you know, Messi's right foot. You get deducted. You get 9 points, isn't it, if you go out of business. And Everton got 10. So that was never going to stick.
Nah.
So the 6 points, I think, you can kind of, you can understand that. But at the end of the day, it's two games, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's two games. And I think the sooner people realise that everything in football is to protect the bigger clubs. Everything that's brought into football is to protect the hierarchy as it stands. All this talk about, financial fair play comes in to give everybody a fair chance. Load of rubbish. Absolute rubbish. What it means is nobody can buy a football club, pump a load of money in, and then knock out one of the big six or whatever you want to call it. It keeps everybody in their place. VAR was brought in because too many of the big six were getting the rough end of some decisions and they thought it might harm their chances. You know, we cut the Premier League down in the number of teams so the big clubs didn't have as many games to play so they could go off on their travels in Europe and compete. Everything in football is built around keeping the status quo in terms of the status and size of the football clubs. And we need to realise that financial fair play isn't to give everybody a fair chance. It's to keep clubs in their place. They didn't want someone coming in like a Leicester and getting in and shaking it up again.
No. The rumour was that after we won it, somebody, one of the big clubs said, that's never going to happen again.
Exactly.
And it won't. And I think, look at the panic within the Premier League when they said, when there was talk about the big clubs going off into this European Super League, because they're the golden egg, aren't they? Yeah. Or the duck that lays the golden egg are those clubs. And if you took those out of it, as a spectacle to, and this is what annoys me, because as a spectacle to non-English fans, it wouldn't be as much of a spectacle.
No.
But we should be concentrating on English fans, should we not?
Exactly. For me, if they want to go. We'll just crack on, And I mean, I'm sure most Leicester fans can't say that they haven't enjoyed this season,
No.
And I've said this before, obviously that every team needs to rebuild now and again. So would you rather, and I know some people would you rather finish 15th every season and have nothing to play for, or would you rather be a bit of an up-and-down club and have the highs and lows of being a proper football fan?
Yes, yeah. And, it's like when we went down to League One and we were winning every week. It's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, that in my first thing that I did for the BBC, /LCFC, I said it's just great to be winning again.
Yeah.
That's all it was. But, look, we went for the dream. We lived the dream for 9 seasons. And as Scott's saying, I don't think if we had stayed up last season, we wouldn't, I don't think, have the squad that we've got now. I don't think we'd have done that, the rebuild.
Probably not. Maybe you don't know. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? None of us know. None of us know what might have happened. And that's why, so much of football is conjecture, isn't it? Guessing what might happen, what might not have happened. The fact is, we are where we are. We're a good club. We've got all the facilities and infrastructure to be a successful club. We just need to slow it down a little bit, I think, and just gradual increments of success.
But as you said, Ronald says there, look at the lack of activity in the last transfer window. I'm sure we're not the only team sweating. Thing is, if you're one of those big six, you're probably not sweating because that they'll just drag it out until we get, let Man City go. Do you know what I mean? It's annoying, but it's almost like being bullied, isn't it? You're not going to bully the guy that's twice the size of you.
No.
You're going to bully the little one.
Yeah, I mean, the English Premier League and the FA and all that are not going to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Yes, yes. But look, well, we will wait and see. Just to say, Ronald, Scott was saying he'd like to stay in the Championship and rebuild. Thing is, if we go up, the money we get for going up, I think, even if we get to come straight back down again, is more than we'd get from that season's parachute payments. So I think financially, we've got to go up, you know, even if
you've got to go up and do what you can and build a team. You know, Burnley, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I think Burnley are going to come back down.
Yes.
But they've bought players in who have now got a year's experience of the Premier League. Now, if they can keep them and come straight back, when they're there again the next year, they'll be a much better team for it.
There's a lot of talk before we move on to the game.
There's a game.
Yes, believe it or not. The FFP talk has been interrupted by a football match. But there is talk about the fact that we can sell players to get out of this mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got two or three who are sort of out on loan that that could probably bring in, you know, close to enough money to get us out of it. I know Christensen has sort of turned it round over in Italy, I think. You know, Bologna weren't too enamoured with Christensen early in the season, but I think he's turned it round and there was an agreement there for 15 million. Although that's wiped out by the fact that if we get promoted, we've got to spend 15 million on Fatawu. So we probably do need to shift some of the players.
I know who's the better value for the 15 million, though, to be honest with you. Although Christensen
potentially, although I think Christensen would have been great in this in Maresca's team, to be honest, because he's got the physicality and athleticism that I think would be great for us. But just sadly, he didn't want to take the chance on playing Maresca's way. He thought it would held him back a little bit. So,
which is entitled to do. But we've also got a lot of players. Well, not a lot. That's a lie. We've got a couple of players, and I do include Jamie Vardy in this. Yeah. You know, on £100,000 a week, whose contract is ending, and you know Pratt's another one. He's probably not on quite that, but that will help as well.
Well, I think you got five only. You got Pratt, Vardy, Iheanacho, Ndidi, Vestergaard. I think off the top of my head, I think that's five. I think they're all up at the end of the season. I could be wrong on one of those, but and you want to keep some of them. So again, you're stuck in a catch 22 situation of, do you just let them go for free, or do you give them a wage rise and encourage them to stay? It's a difficult one.
I mean, Soumaré looked like he was going, but now they're trying to get him cheaper than was agreed.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't want to mention Iheanacho is because I know Brad's in, and of course, Iheanacho is Brad's love child. Just have to do that every time I mention Brad in Iheanacho. Anyway, we're playing Hull at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, believe it or not, possibly the third team to do the double over us. We lost to Middlesbrough. We lost to Leeds. And I was really annoyed with the Leeds loss because, if we'd got VAR, we maybe would have got that second goal. But I don't want VAR. I sooner miss out on the odd goal, to be honest. We didn't have VAR back, but we know we're going to get it next season. We went to Bournemouth, did very well at Bournemouth, as we were talking before the show, against a Premier League team who hadn't made many changes. And then we come to Sunderland, and he goes back to the team. No, sorry, then we went to QPR, and he went back to the team that had lost two games. And guess what? We lost the third. And Sunderland, the funny thing is with Leeds, I wasn't happy with the performance, and I think we threw that one away. With Sunderland, it was an awful performance in one way, and I did have a sort of disagreement with Brad on this. It was awful that second half. I just thought we were awful, but we left blood on that pitch defending.
Yeah, Yeah, we did. I mean, I came away from that Leeds game in particular thinking we're the best team in this division when we're on it. Because yeah. I thought we played some fantastic football. And at the end of it, as every football player knows, every football viewer, fan, if you can't put the ball in the net, then you risk letting goals in at the other end. And yeah. that's what's cost us points. You know, even a couple of extra points, turning them into draws, you know, Leeds and Middlesbrough, you know, those couple of extra points would have been very nice because it would have made three games instead of two games for second place to catch us or third place to catch us. Mm-hmm. But then I said to, I think Katie put something on Twitter after the last game at Sunderland and saying, you know, you need momentum. We want the next game to come as quick as possible. But I thought we started to look very tired in that game. And I think we talk about the fact that the way we play tires the opposition out, but it tires us out a lot. The players in front of the back four are constantly having to move on and off the ball. And I think it's just starting to catch up with a few players. I thought, and particularly when they're playing slightly out of position, it's more mentally challenging for you as well. So I think that takes a strain. And I thought KDH particularly looked really leggy in that second half against Sunderland. But as you say, you know, we dug in when we needed to. Yes, we potentially got away with a penalty. So if VAR was in, that would have evened it out, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, it was almost, we went back to almost like an older Leicester of digging in and playing on the break, although there weren't many breaks.
No.
But I think it's just, and I think, you know, we're talking about picking a team later on. And I think at this part of the season, I think that's where we need to go. I don't think we can play this sort of overly expansive football playing through the thirds. I think we just need to find a way of getting results now.
Indeed, indeed. We are going to pick a team later. Do you know, I mean, it's Leroy Rossinia, who is the ex-player, actually, who is the manager at Hull. He's been Liam. There.
Sorry? It's Leroy's son, isn't it, Liam?
Yeah. Yes, but he also, oh, is it?
Yeah.
I've got it down as Liam Rossinia.
Yeah, that's what I said, but you said Leroy.
Oh, did I? Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Liam, sorry.
I'm just here to pick you up, Chris. You know that.
That's right? Okay. You know, like, I fall over very, very often, so please do pick me up. 68 games played, 24 wins, 24 draws, 20 losses. They've been through a few managers in their time. But, I mean, 35% win rate. They're not doing so bad this season, aren't they? We'll look at the season later. But he is, as a manager, and I would have been, you know, asked a Hull fan, but like I say, I couldn't find a Hull fan to come on, unfortunately. He's not doing a bad job this season at Hull.
No, I like him, to be honest. I think he's pretty level-headed. He talks very well. I think he's one of these bright young managers who hasn't been given a lot of money to spend, but he knows how he wants his team to play, and they play to a set system. He's got a couple of players there, you know, pretty workmanlike, but then he's got one, two, three, maybe little stars, you know, dotted through the team. And I like him. And I think he's doing a good job. And Hull, again, are probably a team who know their place. You know, even now they're probably a little bit higher than they should be in the big scheme of things. But they didn't throw a load of money at it, you know, when they went up. I can't remember many big stars turning up at Hull, to be honest. I think they enjoyed the ride. And now they didn't suffer too badly. You know, they're a steady club, and they're probably, you know, doing as well as they hoped. And occasionally, if they get in the playoffs or get a promotion, that's great. But I don't think they are a club who have any pretensions of being a long-term Premier League team at the moment. But no, I think he's doing a solid job there.
Yeah. And then talking about, well, like I say, I don't want to get onto the actual players individually for the team selection. We'll do that later. But I think it was to Brad that I said this to, that I remember you saying that Brendan Rodgers would, you know, die on his slab of Harvey Barnes or whatever it was. And Mando, I think it might have been you, because I had. Is he doing the same with Kieran Dewsbury-Hall? Because he's looking like, and I'm not saying that Kieran Dewsbury-Hall is a bad player, and you know, he's more consistent kind of than Harvey Barnes, but he's looking so leggy. He's looking like he's running through mud. And I know we haven't got a lot of options to actually pick in those roles, but do you think he needs a break? He's playing, I know it's silly to say he's playing two games a week. He's only two games a week, but he does look to be struggling.
Yeah, I said exactly the same in Sunderland, particularly that second half. He looked very leggy to me. And yes, I think he does need a break. He does deserve a break, but he's not going to get a break. And that's the sad fact, because he is one of our better players. And although he can be frustrating at times, I was saying this to Scott the other day, he takes the ball so well, you know, in tight areas, and he protects it very well. He's nowhere near the level of Madison, but in terms of how he can take the ball and turn with it, he's the best one in the team at doing that. I just wish sometimes he would be a little bit more progressive in his and taking a chance. I think that's for the whole team. I wish they would take a chance a little bit more in playing through balls or a ball over the top, not a long ball, but a ball over the top. You see the likes of Ipswich, you know, that they play a more exciting brand of football, and they're all, you know, they're still very technical, but they don't mind finding different ways to win a game. And I think that's where we've been lacking a little bit. But I would love to give KDH a little bit of a rest, but
we'll pick the team later. But yeah. Do you think we saw Ndidi come back? Obviously a little bit rusty, and that's to be expected. He's been out for, what, you know, 4 months or something like that. And I didn't expect him back this soon, to be honest with you. Bit of a gamble. It kind of paid off. Is it worth, and I'm not asking you to say to pick, because you will pick your team, but I think, you know, Eunice hasn't played as many games, and we haven't. I'm just looking here. Do you know we've actually got 8 forwards? You see, Eunice is counted as a forward. The wingers are counted as forwards, and we've only got 7 midfielders. And you know, a lot of those are injured, and Pat's obviously injured again now. Do you think indeed he could start along with Eunice and give Dewsbury-Hall that bit of a break?
So basically you're asking me to answer that question without giving anything away about my team.
Well, don't say I agree, because that's going to be no.
Yeah. I think it's, let's say it's got to be in his thought process. Yeah. I think he's going to be looking at the players available, and he's probably come up with 5 or 6 different variations of how he manages that midfield area to get a result. And for me, you know, a point isn't a bad result at Hull. You know, they've been pretty consistent in that top 8, as that shows. So going away to a team like that, where a lot of others have stumbled, I'd said before these 2 away games, we needed 4 points minimum. So yeah, we got the 3 at Sunderland, and so I'd love a win, but I don't think a draw is a bad result.
I can ask this time then, and you won't shout at me. Would you take a point at this stage?
I would take a point, to be honest, because I think it's important to get another point on the board, avoid another defeat. You know, and I think the one thing we haven't had enough draws, really, have we? You know, those defeats that we've had, you know, could have easily been draws, and those extra points would have stood us in good stead. You know, we either win or we lose, and that's it.
3 but draws we've had all season,
which is crazy in a competitive league. It's madness. Yes. So yeah, I you know, to be honest, I would, because I think then you go into the cup game and an international break, and it gives you a chance to. Nobody's really expecting us to beat Chelsea, although I think we've got more chance of beating Chelsea than we probably would have of beating Leeds at their place.
Yes.
But it gives him a chance to rest some players again, and nobody's going to think badly of it. So yeah. Really, some of your first team players like a KDH are going to get a couple of weeks recovery time. So I think you go into this game hoping to get a minimum of a point, putting a strong team out, and then giving them an opportunity to rest up.
It was like with the Sunderland game. I didn't care about the performance. I didn't want to see. I just wanted not to lose. We needed to break that, didn't we?
We did, didn't it? But isn't it funny how as the season goes, you know, when we were winning, you know, people wanted us to play attractive football. As soon as we've lost a few, they don't care whether we play attractive football. Yeah. They just want us to win. You know, it's just the irony of football fans and how we think from game to game. You know, we want everything, don't we? We want to play the most beautiful, expansive football and win every game. And then when we lose a few, I don't give a damn about how attractive it looks. Just get 3 points.
Yeah.
You know? And we're at that.
Football fans, are we?
Yeah, you don't get promoted and then get style marks.
No.
You know, we get to the end of the season and then we ask for the judges' scorecards.
Well, we're going to say, you're not going to decide the pitch at the match and, you know, hold up.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Get some bonus points.
The thing, though, was when we did go through that amazing, and let's be honest with you, if you'd said at the start of the season, well, you're only going to lose 7 games at this stage, we'd have laughed at you, wouldn't we, really?
Yeah.
But even when we were, you know, winning week in, week out, apart from the odd game, and there's like the Stoke 5-0, we weren't blowing teams away, because we always kept saying, didn't we, sort of, like, when are we going to blow a team away? When are we going to really kill teams off? They were all 1-0s or 2-1s or, you know, where you know, we'd be up and maybe we'd concede the last goal and we'd be sweating on it. So there was, you know, it was always not scrappy wins, that's the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think teams that play football at the pace that we play it rarely blow teams away because you know we regularly give them time to get back and get in position. So I don't think we're that team who can blow teams away pretty regularly, you know. Yes, we can create a lot of chances, and on a day we might take some of those chances, and then, like we did against Stoke, you know, we were quite ruthless on that one. But I don't think we play that sort of expansive football where we rip teams apart. You know, now and again we get a really good move passing through the game. I mean, if you look at the Bournemouth game, which you were at, obviously, you know, we saw the goal and the end point, but then I saw a clip where. You saw where it came back from, and I think it came back from Mavadidi or Marcel, actually, it was playing a ball back to the keeper from virtually on the halfway line, and then we built it from there and ended in a goal. So we can do that, but I think we are a steady team. We've been pretty ruthless up to now, and I think we just need to dig in and find a way to get the points that we need now.
Yeah, I just think that with those three that we've just lost, you know, we could have lost a lot more, but we were kind of the opposition, you know, didn't always bring the shooting boots.
Yeah, they always look worse when they're lumped together. If we'd have had those three games, you know, 5 games apart and a defeat, nobody would have really sort of panicked much. But and fair play to you, Chris, because I remember you on many occasions saying, "I'm just worried that we haven't had our blip yet."
Yes.
And you've been fully justified.
My notes here. I was going to say, is this our blip? And has the blip, is it over?
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. It definitely was our blip. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I think you're always going to have it, whether that's at the start of the season. Manchester City have had a blip. Liverpool, I'm not sure if they have yet, so that might have to come. So, yeah, and I did say it, and I think that was our blip.
Yeah,
I was at the Bournemouth game, you're right, and look, it was an amazing goal by Fatawu, but he had 30-odd games where he tried to do that and before it actually came off. And then he went to QPR and was trying to do it all the time. That said, look, I'm not going to take it away. Amazing goal, amazing evening. Great support from the Leicester away fans. I don't count that me as one of those because it's a home fixture virtually for me. But we played them earlier in the season, Hull. And, of course, it was our first loss.
It was, yeah.
Were you at that game?
I was here. Right.
Talk us through it. It was only 1-0. They scored after 15. It was Delap that scored.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a while ago now, but I think we played okay, to be honest. But it's another one of those where we don't take the chances and we get punished for it. And I don't think it was taken as badly as it might have been, because I think we've had such a good start, and there was an air of realism that now and again the team's going to dig in and have enough quality to take a chance. And it was one of those games where I don't think we could have played all night and not really scored, to be honest.
I remember when we lost that game. Whilst I never, don't get me wrong, I never want to lose a game. I want to win every game, you know, even if it's the League Cup, and I don't particularly think that's a great competition anymore. But if we're in it, I want to win it, you know. Yeah. But I remember when we lost that game, I'm thinking, great, fantastic. We've got that albatross round our neck, because we were going to lose at some point, and we had won. We hadn't drawn a game up until then. I'm thinking, finally, at last, we've not got that, because every week that it went on, it would have got worse when it happened. So there was that. Now, when we look at current form, and this is where we're at the moment, Hull's home form, although they're actually sat in sixth in the league, and we'll look at the table in a second, their actual home form is not that good. They're in 18th place, which is right down near the bottom. Our away form is sixth. I mean, not so long ago we were first, obviously, but we have slowly slipped away. But looking at that, I'm probably a little bit more confident than I was.
Mm-hmm. I think they're a team that's set up to play better away from home, to be honest. And, you know, maybe we are to that extent, that they can sit in and they've got talented players who can play on the break. And that's always difficult at home, you know, because there's an expectation from the fans for you to set the pace of the game. You know, no fan is going to sit there at home at a home game and be happy if you're sitting back and not taking the game to the opposition. And I don't think they're particularly well suited to that. And that's probably why their home form is pretty poor, to be honest.
I mean, when you look at ours, of that last five, we have got a cup game in there, obviously, but our two wins have both been away from home, you know. Yeah. Now, do you think that, and it's been said about teams in the past, playing at the King Power doesn't help us because the fans, because of how well the season's gone, they kind of do tend to go quiet if we don't sort of pretty much score a couple of goals in the first half?
That's true, but I think that's at most places. I mean, you could hear that at Leeds. You know, that first half at Leeds, that was pretty quiet. And yes. I've been to Arsenal and Liverpool or whatever, and it's quiet. I don't think it's a peculiar thing. You know, the crowd buzzes off the team, and that has to come first. So if it's not happening, but also, you know, teams come to us and they're not expansive. You know, QPR had a fantastic game plan. You know, theirs was great. Because you do see, you know, managers come out and say, right, well, we're going to press Leicester and we're going to get after them. I remember Sunderland, the home game against Sunderland. There was a really good game and it was a really good victory because Sunderland played very well at our place.
Yes.
But they really sort of came after us and closed us down everywhere all over the pitch. QPR said, go on then, what you got? We'll sit here. We'll play you on the break. And they did play us on the break and they played very well. They didn't close us down.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At virtually at all until we got in their half, you know, and because of the pace we play at, it's really difficult to break them down, because you've got to play with pace to beat those teams. You've got to turn the ball over and then move it quickly, and we've not been doing that. So so their game plan was perfect from their thing, and that's why they walked away with the points. So I think it does suit us a little bit more playing away at the moment.
Looking at the last five games for Hull, they've scored six, but they've only conceded four.
Mm-hmm.
We've scored five and conceded seven. I mean, all right, a couple of those Leeds ones, I mean, they were deflections. It was like a pinball, wasn't it, before it went in the net? Scoring goals is becoming a bit of a problem, isn't it? It's the old, you know, give them a barn door and a banjo and they wouldn't hit it.
Yeah, I was happier against Middlesbrough because at least they were shooting. You know, it's, and you see that. I mean, Ipswich, God knows. I mean, they just shoot, and they shoot from anywhere, and they get deflected goals left, right, and centre. But that's because they shoot. You know, we're sort of falling into that trap of thinking we're Man City or Barcelona. We want to walk the ball in and score the perfect goal. Sometimes just hit it. You know, don't lash at it. But, you know, these are professional footballers. If you're 20 yards out, you should be able to find a top corner with a ball at your feet.
Yeah.
You know, just pass it into the net. And which I'm just astonished at how little, you know, professional footballers hit the target, to be honest. You know, because they seem to just see the white lights of the goal and just throw a boot at it instead of just thinking, if that was anywhere else and with no pressure, I could just probably pick that top corner out quite easily.
But have a go, because you don't like those last two Leeds goals. You know, only, you know, look at Ben Nelson's goal. You know, he went in off the post. You just don't know. And I know everybody was critical of Eunice, or a lot of people, not everybody, that's not being fair. A lot of people were critical of Eunice against Bournemouth of all the chances he wasted.
Yeah.
But my God, he ran his socks off.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure he'd still be running now if the final whistle hadn't gone. But the thing was, he was creating the chances.
Mm-hmm.
He was shooting, and all right, he hadn't got his shooting boots on. So, but you don't know that he's not going to hit somebody and go in. Exactly. But the other thing was, he was running at the defence.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the Bournemouth defence didn't want to tackle him because they didn't want to give a penalty away.
You know? Yeah, all defenders hate it, you know.
Mm.
Defenders hate.
Do you think we do enough of that? Do you think we have enough players that run the
not at the not at the moment? As I've said on many an occasion when we've done these shows, you know, in the first 10 minutes, what kind of mood Mavadidi is in. For instance, if he gets past his fullback a couple of times early on, he's going to have a go at him the whole game. If he doesn't, he turns into Harvey Barnes and he just plays the ball backwards and becomes frustrating again. I hope he's not the new Harvey Barnes, but there's some worrying signs for me.
Yeah. Scott asked a good question here. Do you find maybe the mentality of defending a 1-0 lead is something we need to change?
You know what? I'd rather be defending a 1-0 lead than chasing, you know, a 1-0 loss, to be honest, because we haven't managed to do that. I think sometimes it's like an art form, isn't it? And we used to do it. You know, remember that? I don't know if you remember this, Chris, but we won the league a few seasons back.
No, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, wow.
But if I remember rightly, we had a run of 5-1-0 wins towards the end of the season.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And that was at a similar time of the season as we are now. That we just got a goal in front. And you knew in that season, it was weird. And again, I remember saying this to Scott, you knew that if we got a goal up, invariably we were going to hang on to it. We weren't going to get beaten. There was the occasion against West Ham where we went behind, but we still got the penalty and got a draw out of it. But invariably, if we got a goal up, we were going to go on to win the game. And I think we may be in a similar part of the season now that we get up and we hang on.
It is all about hanging on, isn't it? Like, I mean, at the start of that season, I mean, there was lots of goals, but we, you know, we were, you know, we were scoring three but letting in two. We couldn't, yeah. we couldn't keep a clean sheet, could we? But look, are we pressing the panic button a wee bit too soon? I mean, look, we're still top. And do you remember earlier? I mean, Ipswich, they do. I mean, I love Ipswich. I like Ipswich as a team. Mm. They're not a team I can hate. But they are like the Black Knight in the Monty Python film. Mm. You chop a leg off. No, it's just a cut. You know, chop the arm off. Oh, it's just a little scratch. You know, Bristol City, 1-0 up, 1-1, 2-1 up, 2-2, then lost 3-2. It's like, for God's sake, Ipswich, just give up, will you? But Ipswich are now 3 points behind us. Mm. For a long period earlier in the season, it was like that, wasn't it? Because they were winning and we had to win. And I'm just wondering if, in a strange way, and this is going to sound daft, but bear with me, only having that 3 or 4 point gap, does that keep us on our toes more than if we had, you know, what we had, which was like 12 points?
Yeah, no, I you're probably right, Chris. It focuses the mind a little bit, I would say. Yes. You know, because you know, you can't help it. You think you've got a 12-point lead. You know, if I take my foot off the gas this week and we lose, okay, we'll put it right next week and we'll still have a 9-point lead. Yeah. And I think now it's becoming focused. You even heard the talk from Maresca changing in the last couple of weeks to, we just need to find ways to win a game, you know, rather than the rhetoric before was all about the way we won the game or the way we played and we will not shift from it, this, that and the other. And now it's, we need to find ways to win a game of football. So that's changed as well. And I hope that that carries on, that they realise the situation that they're in. It doesn't matter how you play. And no, he's not going to suddenly throw his style out, and he's not going to come up with a much vaunted plan B, which everybody wants. But he's probably going to be a little bit more pragmatic and dig in where needs be.
Yeah. Good. Well, good. You know, if it does, you know, focus the mind, then like you say, like, you know, good. That's what I want. Yeah. But like I say, you know, we are still top of the league. And look, you know, I want to win it because I want to go one over Man City. You know, I want to get the maximum points simply because that's going to be good to say. Although, because of course, we, you know, we could probably do it with transferring some of those to next season. But it's all about finishing second, isn't it?
Yeah, it's finishing top two and getting up and not having the playoffs because, you know, for being in the top two for so much of the season, to suddenly find yourself in the playoffs in the last few weeks, it's going to be difficult to get that team back up. And you don't know the way the results are going to go. You know, you could end up with a Southampton or a Leeds, you know, in a semi-final or a final. And would we fancy ourselves against either of them in a final? I'm not sure we would, to be honest, the way the season's panning out. So it's all important to just focus on getting first or second.
Yeah. Easy says here, and good evening, Easy. How are you? Lightning never strikes twice. If Hull win, Leicester will be third by the international break. I presume you're meaning, you know, because if Leeds win now, they're what, 5 points behind us. So I think when we get to the international break, we'll have played Chelsea in the FA Cup. Leeds and Ipswich. I don't think, are Ipswich still in the FA Cup? I don't think they are they?
No, I think it's just as in Coventry, I think, isn't it?
That's right. But then we would have that game in hand.
Yeah.
You know, so it would then, I think when you look at tables where there's games in hand, it's not a real table, is it? Because it's not telling you the true picture.
No, it's not. But what you don't want is those games piling up. I'm sure that Southampton would have much rather played last night than have that Preston fixture postponed.
That was a hell of a fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, have to be put on, back into the season somewhere.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play two games in a week, whereas hopefully we're not. So, and the trouble is, you know, if we win against Chelsea, that's just going to get worse. And until the fact that we end up having to play two games in a row over 2 days with the FA Cup final followed by the Championship playoff final the next day.
Having said that, would that be the end of the world? You know, who knows?
Yeah, it wouldn't do it. But what it shows you is that they're, the short-sightedness of the FA or whoever puts these fixture lists together that there's no way a Championship team would get to the FA Cup final these days.
No. Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it easy said about a three-game week, two-game week. It depends where you start and stop your week. Because you have a three-game week, then the next week is just a one-game week. But at the last 2 weeks have been two-game weeks anyway. So, you know, such is life, as they say. But all I will say is that was a hell of a fire just outside the Southampton ground. And I'll tell you what, whoever asked for the burgers well done is probably regretting it this morning. that barbecue went somewhere else totally. Tactics. And again, like I say, keep saying we're going to come to the teams in the next bit. But do we have a plan B?
No, but I don't think any team has a plan B these days. I Klopp, Guardiola. I mean, Guardiola and Man City have found this over the season so many times where teams just come and sit in and they struggle to break them down. And then they break them down in the last 10 minutes and get a couple of goals. But they don't start hoofing the ball forward. I think the days of a plan B have gone. You know, the days where we send Suter on and put him on up front and just hit balls up to him or whatever. I don't think you're ever going to see that. You know, there may be certain teams. And if we're going into the last game of the season and, you know, we need a goal in the last 3 minutes of a game, maybe. But I don't think we're ever going to play a plan B. I mean, what football coach these days says, right, we're going to spend the morning working on the way we normally play, and then we're going to spend the afternoon on a different plan where I just hoof the ball up the pitch. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't be able to adapt within a game.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a better way of saying it rather than a plan B.
All right. Yeah. It's like my bottled or not to be bottled. Can we adapt? Because like the other week when we brought Cannon on and we suddenly had two strikers on the pitch, we thought, what? Hang on, surely not. And then Cannon was on the left wing. So you're still playing the same system that hadn't been working, and now you've put a striker in a winger's position.
Yeah, I would like to see more flexibility in a formation, for sure.
See, that's a better way of putting it, Craig.
Yeah.
Flexibility in formation. Not plan B. We just need flexibility. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use
you can
that.
Have that.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, put that in your BBC piece next time
around. I will. That'll be next week.
Right, cool. I'd like to see that because, you know, every team can come and set up. They know what we're going to do. You know, it's easier and it doesn't matter. We're not going to change.
Mm.
You know, I would like to see that, whether you go to, you know, two up front and you narrow in your wingers or whatever, just play down the channels a little bit more rather than getting the ball to feet to wingers.
Yes.
I find it a little bit infuriating and the stubbornness of the modern football manager. There are many ways to win a football game, but they seem to think it's one way and that's it, you know. And Brendan was the same. Brendan would rarely change it. He would bring players in.
You can't, sorry here, Craig. You can't say to me that Brendan was stubborn. No, I'm not having that.
Of course not. No. I was only saying it to get a ruse out of you. But the managers are these days. But, you know, just be a little bit flexible and ask some different questions. If the way you play is being snuffed out, it's like just running against a brick wall and hoping at some point, you know, or you can decide to try and build a door in it.
Yes. No. It would be nice to see that sometimes.
Yeah.
But look. We know the formation's not going to change. And look, before anybody says, and if Brad's still in, Brad will hate me for putting it like that, I can't change. They don't have Enzo's formation, unfortunately, on here. But what we can do is once we put the players in, I can move. But I can't move the things until the players, you can see there, look, it's not moving, until the players are actually in. So you'll have to bear with us on this one. But this is the team. Now, we're not going to go to Craig. We used to do this regularly, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
But to be honest with you, we there was just no point, was there? Because we knew what the team was going to be. Which isn't always a bad thing. Now, I don't want you to pick the team that you think Enzo will go for.
No.
I just want you to pick the team that you want to see tomorrow. Now, I say no pressure. You said about going radical. Brad went radical last week and lost to me because I didn't go radical and I got 10 out of 11. But so there's a high standard here that you've got to come up
with. So what I'm hearing there is Brad picked the team that he wanted to see as per instructions and you picked the team that you thought Maresca would play.
No, it was also the team that
that's
I wanted.
That's what I'm hearing, Chris.
Well, you need to get a hearing aid. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know how you can say that I would do that sort of thing. I presume we're going Hermansson in goal.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that all that time on international duty with Schmeichel is starting to pay off as he pings consecutive balls out of play.
I think it was four in the whole game. And look, I know you want to be teacher's pet, but passing the ball to the manager, because it was perfect. If he wanted to pick the manager out, he was doing it. But as the commentator said, at least it was out of play. Lot of on the halfway line and not sort of right down in our corner.
Yes, Scott, it will be interesting.
Right, so we know we're going to have four across the back when we defend, but that will obviously become three when we go forward. So who are you starting in the left of what would normally be the center three?
Well, this is where it all gets a little bit radical.
Oh, already, my god, we've only got one player in Greg.
Well, I think we're at a point now where we play to get a result and we have to rely a little bit on experience. When you get into these parts of the season, I don't think you can find a substitute for experience because you can always change that off the bench.
You can.
I think it's difficult the other way round.
When you say radical and experience, you're not going to be that radical that you're going to recall Thomas, are you?
No. I've got Robert Huth on a short-term contract.
Well, he still works for us, I think, doesn't he?
Exactly, yeah. He's a loans manager, I think.
Yeah, he could get his boots on. Selfish devil, what's he doing? Right. Okay, so
let's forget the right back at the moment because we know that's going to become an extra midfielder. So we're looking at a back three.
Yes,
now, I don't particularly, I'm not a big fan of the guy playing where I'm going to put him, but I think from what I'm trying to achieve, that's where he'll have to sit. So in that left back position, Farse is going to go there.
Oh, my God. Yes. Wow. I'm going to wait and see where you go ahead of this because as I don't like him on the left unless he's got a certain player in front of him.
Yeah, I don't particularly like him on the left either, but you'll see what I'm trying to achieve.
I'm going to wait because you said that. So I'm going to wait to see where you go. But when I've seen him play on the left, I've never always been impressed, but a couple of good games he has had there, he has, when he's had this other player on the same side, he's looked better.
Okay.
So, in the centre of the back three,
Vestergaard comes back.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. You see, I was impressed with Cody, and I think Cody should have started before I know Nelson got the goal, but I thought Cody, I mean, I can understand, and I think you're right. I think he will come back. And silly question, and I never thought last season I'd be asking you this, but we've missed Vestergaard, haven't we?
Well, I think so. I mean, he's the central playmaker from the back. You know, Hermansson, looks for him first and he dictates the play and he seems to be the most comfortable on the ball. And then he'll have people around him who can get him out of trouble if he gets into trouble. But I wasn't a big fan of playing Nelson, to be honest. I think I would have preferred Suter because I thought Suter would have caused more trouble in the opposition. When you look at the number of goals he's got for Australia,
exactly.
I think something else Brendan Rodgers like must be going on behind the scenes for Suter to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Suter. I want to be honest with you, especially at this level. He was Stokes, best player when we, they said that, could we have him back, please, just for the one game when we play you? I know he's got the experience. I kind of get Nelson because he possibly is the future, but we've got to get to that future. Because like saving up for a rainy day, save up for a rainy day, but you still got to enjoy yourself now,
Exactly my thinking, and that'll become clear with this team, I think.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so
I did toy with putting Suter in there, but I'm putting Cody in.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
So for me, whoever I pop in there at right back, we know he's going to go into midfield. So for me, that's an experienced back three.
I think this is a very good one. Yeah,
that's a solid back three, and I think that's where we need to be now. We need to be solid because we know we've got goals in us. So I think if we can be solid at the back, it allows us to go in. Even if we get to the point where we're just nicking that one goal and then defending it out, but I'd rather see us with a solid back three there, I think.
Yes. As you can see, I can move them about, like I say, once I put the name in. Is this going to be radical, this right back stroke midfield role, or is we going to go for the obvious? Oh, no, he's injured, isn't he? He can't be the obvious.
You mean Ricardo, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's injured, so it's not him.
No.
That
was wishful thinking, wasn't it?
Yeah. This could easily backfire, but I'm going to go with experience again, and I'm going to put Albright in there.
Again, I'm just going to move him up to about there.
Yeah.
Because that other midfielder there will go forward, I think, won't he?
Yeah.
So let's move him there. And then Albrighton can be sort of there because he goes between the two.
Yeah.
I agree with you. He has played right back. He used to do it under Brendan. Always, I thought, had a penalty in him.
Yeah.
But didn't a few of our players, to be honest with you. He's got 90 minutes in him, and I think he had something when he's on the pitch. And like you say, now, everything we did against Sunderland will count for nothing if we lose against Hull.
Yeah, I think he's got more vision to hit a slightly longer ball in behind defenders, whether that's for the central striker or for the wingers. I think he has a tendency to look up more than some of the others do, who tend to have a sort of 10-yard radius of where they want to play the next short pass. So I think Albrighton gives us a little bit of something different there. Plus, you've got a solid back three behind him.
Yes. You're talking enough to send us here, Craig. You're worrying me. Right. So, I think I can guess that you're going to put Winks in here, aren't you?
Yeah. Let's put Winks in. And then. Yeah.
I thought you might be somehow. Right. So, we've got Harry Winks there. And of course, Albrighton will kind of come there. Now, I'm going to fill this one in first because I can then move him out the way. So one of those central midfielders.
Yeah. So obviously, you put Winks in, haven't you?
I put Winks in. So the gap that's next to Winks, but will be moved forward, won't he?
Right. So on the left of Winks, KDH, for me, he has to play on the left-hand side.
So you're going to stick with Dewsbury Hall after everything we said?
Yeah, because I think if he plays on the important thing for me is to start getting relationships back together of where they played, where they feel more comfortable, shall we say?
Yes. Yeah. Right. I'll move these around at the end.
Yeah. Let's get the names in and then we can shift them around.
I'm just trying to drop them in.
Yeah.
Next to Dewsbury Hall.
Indeed, he comes back.
Indeedy. Yeah. and then Albrighton will. I'll put him kind of there, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because he is a bit of in between, right? And then on the left. Now, can I just say, we complained last season about only having Harvey Barnes and not having enough wingers. Yeah. And you know, we've had wingers in the past, like Mahrez, like, you know, I think we said the other day with Brad, I think he was told, oh, just don't bother defending, just go forward and do what you do.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, especially Fatu and Mavididi as well, but especially Fatu, the defence, the amount of work they put into defence is really impressive.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put Mavididi there back in. Again, because the relationship between Dewsbury Hall on the left and Mavididi was very strong for me. It has been strong, and I think it weakens both of them when Dewsbury Hall is moved across to the right.
Yeah.
And the same on the other side, I think, with Fatawu, that relationship that he was starting to build with Ndidi making those little runs onto the byline.
Unreal. It was almost reminded me almost, if I'm honest with you, of Vardy and Mahrez.
Yeah.
You know, is that, you know, you'd watch it and Fatu, I've been watching it doing the watch along, and Fatu would just play it down towards, you know, the goal line, thinking like, who's that to? And then Ndidi would, you know, legs all akimbo, comes running down, and gets it and puts the cross it. But I tell you what, he also has that with Dennis Pratt as well.
Pratt has definitely started in the last couple of games to play that role more like Ndidi and starting to get to the byline. So it was really disappointing that he picked up that injury the other week.
It was. It definitely was. But I liked what I saw. But it doesn't, as much as I like Eunice, and like I said, he was my man of the match against against Bournemouth. But he hasn't got that understanding with him, you know. Yeah. Right, so let us just move this gentleman forward a little bit, that gentleman forward a little bit, and then Ndidi and Dewsbury Hall, Winks is kind of there. Now then, this is interesting. You've got a choice of four here, because Vardy's fit again. Every time, I think, and unfortunately, I think it could be his wages that mean he doesn't get a year, because I think, like you say, with all this FFP, he is a big chunk off the wages if we let him go.
Yeah.
And I doubt he'll want to take a pay cut. You don't know, but I doubt it. Yeah. You've got Iheanacho, who I wasn't overly impressed with, but of course Brad was. Cannon, who's kind of sort of burst onto the scene and is kind of now been frozen out when he's not played on the wing. And you've got Daka, who, you know, I mean, he misses so much, but he still scores the goals as well.
Yeah.
So you've got a choice of four there. Now, unless you're going to really go radical, and as Scott's just said here, he did mention it earlier, Soutar up front.
Yeah, I'd say he's going to be the new Matt Elliott, Steve Walsh.
Yeah. Hey, Matt Elliott won us the League Cup that year.
He did.
Who are you going to go for up front?
I mean, I you could make an argument for any one of those four.
Exactly.
But I think with having with us, I think we'll sit back a little bit more. They've got to come on to us. And with having Albrighton in my team, I think I'm going to go with Vardy, because I think that relationship again, I think the relationships that you've got there, you know, Fatawu and Ndidi, Mavididi and Dewsbury Hall, Albrighton and Vardy, I think that's the solid three forward thinking relationships on the pitch with a solid back line protected by Winks sitting in there. I think it gives us enough stability at the back, but enough threat going forward.
Yeah. Have I got them in about the right position for you?
Yeah. Yeah,
that pretty much is, isn't it? Justin, is Justin injured?
No, he's Justin's been disappointing for me, to be honest. Right. Hamza is up and down at the minute.
Yes.
But I think, you know, I would say, you know, it was funny because, you know, against Bournemouth, he was the one driving the team forward. But then again, that's the only thing he's got to drive at the minute. So,
you know, oh, bum. Like it, Craig.
You've
been rehearsing, haven't you?
I just think, you know, I think it's we're at a time for experience and solidity. Get results, get points, get 3 points, nick 3 points if you can. Just don't get beaten.
Yeah, no, again, 100%. The only thing I would I think Vestergaard's always going to come back. He has got that distribution. And whatever we say about his speed, and, you know, he looks like he's running in treacle, and, you know, even in the second minute. But, you know, he can ping a ball anywhere, can't he? His distribution is absolutely amazing. The only thing that I would disagree with on that is I just don't like Faze on the left. I think the only time Faze has played, or Faz, whatever you want to call him, has played well on the left is when he switched Ricardo over there as well. And therefore, I would probably... Brad last week actually had Justin playing the All-Brighton role.
Right, okay.
Because obviously Justin can play on the right as well. That said, I love the All-Brighton idea. You know, he has played that role as in right-back before, hasn't he? You know, he did play it regularly for quite a while under Rodgers. I feel sorry for Cody because he did all right. And Hamza did all right against Sunderland. He was getting the tackles in, but then all the the whole teams, they left blood on the pitch. I agree with virtually 99% of that. My question mark is Faze. I'd probably still stick with Justin there. So then would I then put Faze probably instead of Cody on the right? Apart from that, mate, I think you've got a very good team there. It's what we need. It's experience, isn't it?
That's what I think. And yeah, I toyed with it, and I thought Cody had a good game at Sunderland. He was just what we needed, you know, when we were under the cosh a little bit. And yeah, we probably did give a little bit of forward thinking away. But it turned out right in the end. So I couldn't argue if we went that way and dropped Cody again and put Fast there and put either Doyle or Justin, I couldn't argue. But as I said, I'm going a little bit more radical with it.
I feel sorry for Cody because, like you say, you know, no matter how well he played last week, you know, Vestergaard's probably going to come back in. And I don't agree with that. Because I think, you know, you've got to earn your right to be back in. But we haven't got... ...experienced head.
Yeah.
I think I froze then. He is that experienced head that, you know, is able to calm things down and say, all right, guys, look, you know, we're under the cosh here, but don't panic. You know, don't panic, Mr. Mannering.
I think you've seen... We've given too many goals away in the last 10 minutes of games. Yes. And that's where experience comes in. You've got Cody or Farce or whatever shouting at someone to give the ball, just get the ball up the pitch. And it was frustrating a little bit at times, but we just got the ball up the bloody pitch, you know, and out of harm's way occasionally rather than making sure. I mean, the turnaround against Leeds came from, I think it was Fatara who had moved over to the left or Marcel, one of them, trying to dribble out just outside his own box and got robbed of the ball and they score the first goal. And that changes the whole game.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we can't be affording to do those things.
Craig's just quickly asking your thoughts on Doyle.
Disappointing for me, to be honest. I've been disappointed in him. And I think, you know, depending on what... Again, I was talking to Scott during the game against QPR. I thought he gave the ball away far too much the other night as well. That depending on what they want for it, I wouldn't spend more than 15 mil on him. And if they want more than that, I think you could get someone better. I think Christiansen would do a better job, to be honest. I'd bring him back.
Only he would accept that change of role. But look, you know, he's entitled. Yeah.
He's been disappointing for me. He looks a bit heavy. And he gets rolled. Justin was really disappointing the way he got rolled against QPR. And I think you can get in behind Doyle as well. It was interesting. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but Doyle was sort of stopped by some social media guy who was just out talking to shoppers. And he stopped Callum Doyle. This was last week or so, I think. And he just said, "Oh, have you got a moment, mate? We're just chatting to people in the street. What do you do for a living?" And he turned around and said, "I'm a footballer." The guy said, "Oh, who do you play for?" He said, "Leicester City." And his next question was, "Okay, what position?" He said, "Centre-half." That's where he sees himself.
Yeah,
he sees himself as a centre-half, not a left-back or left-winger or whatever, where we're playing him at the minute. And that probably suits him better because, I don't think he's as mobile.
The other guy sort of asked his name and then felt silly.
I'm not sure he was a big bit of a football fan, to be honest, because he wasn't. He seemed surprised that he was a footballer, but he didn't seem overly awestruck with it.
Well, yeah, we presume everybody is, don't we?
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm exactly the same with Doyle, and I think the fact that he's that left-footed centre half that Enzo loves and wants, you know. And yet he's not been able to get in because up until recently, Justin has been playing so well. I think that says a bit about him. Yeah. But thank you for that. I will save that and obviously come back to that after the team is announced and see what you've done. But yeah, I think you've picked some good players there, mate. I think you really have. Right, let me just find the right one of these, which I can't at the moment. There we go, it's that one. So, very quickly and finally, I am going to ask you, because I haven't put mine in yet.
I haven't either.
So you're not going to be, I don't hold you to these, so if you want to change this for your actual prediction when it goes in, but what is your score prediction going to be, sir?
I'm going to go 1-2.
Right. Craig has gone 1-2. Do you want the bad news?
You've gone the same, haven't you?
I have gone the same. I'm going to go the same, yes. Because I think it is going to be a tight game. Look, Hull are in sixth place. I mean, that fifth and sixth place changes week in, week out. So any two teams from about seven could end up in there. But I think it is going to be a tough game, and it's away. And they have beaten us once already, so they know how to do it. Mm. And let's face it, when they beat us last time, we were on a better run than we are now. So I am a little bit worried. Mm. Now, finally, played for both.
Mm.
Now, you were a bit annoyed the other week with my Howard Wilkinson.
You know what? I spoke to a couple of people and they were all just as annoyed and said how ridiculous.
Oh, they would. I presume you can't substantiate that at all.
No.
He is on the list as assistant manager at the time. I think you might get this one, though. A defender that we earned a lot of money with.
Defender we earned a lot of money with. You know what? I was struggling to think who we might go with. Let me think. You know, I'm going to play dumb, Chris, and let you go with it. Have your moment.
I'm surprised, if not a little bit shocked, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's the obvious one. I was letting you have your moment.
If it was obvious, why didn't you go for it?
Because no. I never know with you. Virgil van Dijk has probably been to a function at both clubs, and that counts.
how bitter we get. How bitter we get. I really wanted to have a whole fan on here to talk, but... let's be honest with you, what a buy.
Yeah, it was great for us. You know, I remember seeing Hull a little bit. After we won the league, our first game the following season was away at Hull. But I remember at the time, really liking Maguire, but liking Andy Robertson as well. Before Liverpool snapped him, I would have loved us to have got Andy Robertson. We probably could have done at the time.
Yeah.
But Maguire was great for us, and whatever anybody thinks of him at Manchester United, you can't take away that he was a really, really solid, old-fashioned defender for us, and he left it all out on the pitch, which is what every fan wants of every player. So he was a great signing for us.
A player is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they were willing to pay 80 to get him. He was good when he left us, but nobody was, wasn't he? He was good when he was with Leicester. He got into the England team. I mean, I know he still did afterwards.
Yeah,
but, you know, he only got in the England team when he came to us. And the fact of the matter was that nobody was a good defender at that time, and he's come through that now. I think, and he's back almost to his old self, but. Yeah, I just think in a lot of ways, United were the cause of a bit of his mini downfall.
Yeah, I think you go to a big club and it's not for everyone. I think every mistake is highlighted. He could make a mistake at Leicester, it wouldn't be headline news.
No. You know?
At Man United, it is because of the expectation that comes with every individual who plays there. But the expectations of the club.
Price tag as well.
That comes into it, and he wasn't really helped by the players around him, you know. So whenever a team goes down, there's always, you know, one or two players who get the finger pointed at them more than anyone else. And for Harry, it was him, sadly.
Yeah. There we go. Bring back Howard Wilkinson. That's what I say. Craig, are you going to the game or are you not?
No. No, I won't be going to that one. I have been there, as I say. I went there for that first game as champions when we lost 2-1. That was
a wonderful the start, moment. Wasn't it? We could tell how that season were going. Gary Lineker's boxer shorts didn't help us at all.
Not at all.
If we win this, I want to see you in your boxer shorts. I don't want to see you on your boxer shorts. I think you should do that. I'll tell you what
I'll do. If Enzo picks that team.
Right,
I'll do it in my boxer shorts.
Oh, God. I almost feel like messaging the club saying, put that out just as a joke a minute before you
make sense a minute in. Yeah.
Greg, thank you very much, sir. A pleasure as always. It's always great to have you on. Have a good weekend and bring on the FA Cup.
Indeed. Cheers, mate. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So there we go. Hull it is. And we have got a watch along this weekend. So please do not forget. We will be here on Saturday at 2:15 with the pre-match with myself and Brad, possibly others. I don't know yet. And then we will have obviously the watch along. And then we'll have the post-match reaction, which is always fun because it's an immediate reaction. And it tends to, you tend to get us warts and all on that one. So 2:15 on Saturday. And of course, the week after, quarterfinals of the FA Cup. I called it. I said it would be Chelsea or Manchester City. We always seem to get them. But let's be honest, Chelsea are beatable, aren't they? And I'm not being disrespectful to them. Leeds. They took them to the limit when they played them. I mean, you know, they got a last-minute goal. Did Chelsea to get through. I'd sooner have heard Chelsea than Manchester City, and I can't think who else is in it from the Premier League because I don't really follow the Premier League with us not being in it. But, you know, out of all the so-called big clubs, that's the one that I think is beatable. And I say no disrespect to them. I think it's just the season that they are having. Not saying we will beat them, but look, if we get through the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and go out to a Premier League team with the players that Chelsea have got, the manager they've got, it will not be a disgrace. And do I want to? I want to do well in the FA Cup. I'd love to win it again. I'd love to be able to go this time. Whether we will get that chance or not, who knows? But at the end of the day, We will see. It's the FA Cup. If we can stay in it as long as possible, that would be great. If we get to the semis, if we do get past Chelsea, of course, we will be playing at Wembley. I don't agree with that, but it is what it is, so we have to take it on board. That's it, guys. I will see you tomorrow night, I think, at 7 o'clock for the prediction show. I think I'm doing that with Brad. I'm not 100% sure. FFP obviously doesn't apply to Chelsea. Indeed. Turfy, how you doing? Go stuff and pal. please. Dan, how are you, by the way? I hope you, Kate, and the Kiddlywinks are all well. It was bad enough thinking that you were listening to me when you, well, you weren't listening because you were asleep, but you fell asleep. Our phone, but I've got that vision now. I'm sorry, I've got that. That vision's not going to leave me all night. Oh, Dan, how are you doing, mate? We can wave at each other, I think, again, unfortunately, at the end of the season, but you'll come back stronger. You'll come back stronger, mate. So thank you very much if you're watching in the bath, but if you're watching us on YouTube, like the video, subscribe if you're new. And you've been listening on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be YouTube or Spotify, Apple, any of the major podcast platforms. We do that in conjunction with TalkSport. We thank them for their support of this channel. Unfortunately, couldn't get a whole fan on today, but back tomorrow. Let's see. I've overtaken Craig again in the prediction league. Just a bit of a spoiler there for you. See you all tomorrow night, guys. Thank you so much for your support. It's over 3,030 subscribers. It's amazing. Thank you so very much, Dan.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.